Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning, children. Did you miss me? I missed you. Before I was so rudely interrupted by the weather, I wonder if God's up there going, "Well, you know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Can't have snow and ice on Super Bowl Sunday. Let's back it up a week." We continue to look at the spiritual formation of Jesus. And today unfolds the mission statement of Jesus: repent and believe the good news. Now, if you read the Gospel of Mark, it's very simple. Jesus was baptized. He was affirmed by God. As soon as that happened, he went to the desert for 40 days. As soon as that happened, he came back and he started preaching. But the ministry of Jesus was a lot more messy and complicated and gnarly than that. I mean, he was picking up ragtag guys around the place. Some of them didn't even like each other. You try to build a team out of that. Today, Mark just gives us the good news in one sentence. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Very simple. I could preach weeks on just repenting. Mark did it in two words. Turn away from what you've been doing. That's what repentance is. Seek forgiveness from the depths of your soul. Not just, "Oh, I'm sorry. I know I messed up." Not that kind of "I'm sorry." "I'm sorry on bended knee. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I'm sorry in my gut. I'm sorry." That's the repentant nature that Jesus calls us to. And that would set the tone for the whole of his ministry. Not go do social justice. Not go proclaim civil rights. Not go do "you are valued, you are loved, you belonged." Repent and believe the good news. That's it. Repent and believe the good news. Turn away from what you've been doing. First of all, you have to be aware that you've been doing wrong. And some of us are so oblivious to the world in which we live, we just go through. I have a friend who said, "I've lived half my life as Pollyanna, and half my life as an ostrich. Everything's worked out okay." I don't know how to live like that. I try, Lord, I try to live like that, but I just can't. To repent, we first of all have to have an awareness of wrongdoing. And second, we have to have then confession that we did wrong. And third, we have to go to someone and express our regret of it. "I know I did wrong. I confess I did wrong, and now I'm going to you to say I did wrong. And I'm going to change," which is the hardest part of repentance. "I'm going to change, and in the midst of that, I ask your forgiveness. Not only do I ask it, I beg it, and I desire it." to the depth of my soul, I am sorry. That's repentance. And how often should we do that? St. Francis of Assisi says every day. Some of the desert fathers, deep into spirituality, say every moment of every day, we should be living in that kind of spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you as you stay open to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you in that process. So repent is the first part of Jesus' message. The second part is believe the good news. Not just believe it, but live it. Live the good news. And what was the good news? The good news is the old news. The old news is the good news. When Jesus began his ministry, there was no New Testament. He couldn't say, turn over to Philippians 3 and let's look what Philippians 3 says. Jesus had the Old Testament, and he only had parts of the Old Testament. And the main part of the Old Testament was the Shema. The Shema was the first prayer ever given to a child. The Shema was the first teaching ever given to a child. And it was given over and over and over and over until you died, and the Shema was said over you at death. And what was the Shema? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the good news. And one other part. I am God's anointed messenger. I have been sent by God as God's son, as the son of man, to give you these two words. Repent and believe. That's it. This sermon series was put in place about 8 weeks ago. As I was looking at where I thought we would be in the pastor search process, and as I looked at what we needed to be doing as a church to get ready within that whole process, and as I thought back on some of the listening sessions, and as I look forward to Missional Business Services being with us next week, and some of the introspective evaluation we will be doing, I thought, if we could understand who Jesus was calling us to be in these 4 weeks, we would be doing some good spiritual work together. You are my beloved. I thought that was a good word for us to hear as the new year began. And then the word repent, I thought to myself, what in the world, how in the world, nobody calls us to repentance anymore. The buses will wait while you come down front. Give me that old time religion. Jesus saves. Just ride down Interstate 95 and you'll see those signs all the way down to Florida. So I want you to know that as I stand here before you today, what I'm about to say to you was formed 8 weeks ago as the message of proclamation. But it was brought home to me this week. For the first time ever in my life, I wrote a letter to the President of the United States. the public post of the Obamas was a disgrace to our nation. That post was vile and divisive and an embarrassment to our nation. I don't care who posted it. I know whose name it was under. And I am sick to my soul for that. And I wondered, God, how am I going to preach to these people about repentance? And suddenly, there it was. I told the president in my letter to him, I was not writing as someone who had a partisan political agenda to push. So, Mr. Trump, I have been your friend as much as I have been your critic. But right now, this is not about partisan politics. This is about human dignity, Mr. President. And I told him he needed to ask for forgiveness and repent. I told him, please, say to the Obamas that you are sorry for what happened. Please say to the American people you are sorry. Please say to the leader of the greatest nation in the world, I messed up. Please, Mr. President, repent. And in the second paragraph, I said, Mr. President, I pray for you daily. I don't pray about you, I pray for you. And Mr. President, if you want to call me, I'd be happy to talk to you on the phone. Or if you want to invite me to the White House, I'd be happy to come to the White House and have a conversation. I don't expect either of those to happen. I am telling you what I said so that if anything happens to me in the next week or two. I was not ugly in what I said. I was angry, but I was not ugly. I was firm, but I was not argumentative in what I said. But I am embarrassed for our nation. And this is not the way we make America great again. And I hear him saying, I'm the president of the United States. I can do whatever I jolly well please. No, you can't. I'm the father of this family. I can do whatever I jolly well please. No, you can't. I'm the mother of this family. Okay, you can. Lord, I ain't getting in the middle of that. Easier to tackle the president. You see, when we repent, we then are free of the sin. And I don't know about you, but I need all the freedom in my soul I can get because it's heavy enough. Repent of the sin and be free. That's what Jesus is saying. Be free of all the stuff. Some folks need to repent over their behavior when they left this church. Some folks left this church. They didn't give anyone a chance to come and lead. They turned their back on the pastor search committee and church leadership, and they left this congregation. They need to repent of that behavior. They don't need to come back, but they need to repent because some of you are hurt to your core over that. And I'm sorry for you that you had to bear that pain. And they may never repent, but we can forgive. Because you see, forgiveness also carries its own amount of freedom. So, Mr. President, I forgive you. Mr. President, I forgive you, but I still call you to repentance. Repentance is good for the sinner, and forgiveness is good for the saint. You see, the world in which we live is still pretty normal. Whenever Carl wants to go duck hunting, he can load his guns up and he can go duck hunting. That's no problem with that. Whenever Carol wants to go to the South Pole, for God's sake, Carol can go to the South Pole. Whenever some of you want to wave baby blue after last night, Lord have mercy. You need to repent. We can still eat out of crock pots. We can still share fellowship. The world is fine. Gas prices are low. Grocery shelves are full this week. I'm fine, you're fine, everything's fine. But at the core, it is not. And if it's going to change, it will be because you and I live the good news. God in heaven and God of earth, forgive us. Forgive us, God. We come as repentant sinners, knowing that we have failed you and failed those we love. But thank you, God, for loving us through Jesus the Christ, loving us through neighbors, loving us through the good things of life. Father, forgive us, for sometimes we do know what we do. For our nation, for our president, for those who lead us, for our church, for our search committee, for those who lead us. Oh God, I pray your blessings upon us. And I pray above all else that we would love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And that we would love one another as much as we love ourselves. Through Christ our Lord.